Rob Parsh.
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
This is a Homemade Broadcast radio production.
Base vehicle free count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, episode 491. We are live streaming right now on YouTube, willsyoutube.com, Twitter, home_made_man, and HMB Radio on Facebook. Joining me is Anna Hummel. Hold on, let me turn your mic on. There you go.
Hello.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I was, thankfully the sound wasn't on, but I took a drink of water, went down the wrong hole, and then it's one of those. So,
yeah.
Glad I scared the audience, that obnoxious sound.
So. Yeah. That's okay. That happens. You can get in touch with the show, 813-693-2124. We do live stream on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. If you can join us, that would be great. Leave comments. Interact with the program, share it on your social media. That really helps out. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete later in the future, well, we welcome you aboard, and hopefully you'll join us next week on Wednesday at 4 p.m. over at willsyoutube.com. And this week, Anna, I had a few things, and I don't know if I brought this up before or not. I am amazed at this. This is something, let me pull it up here. Present. I'm going to pull this. I'm going to share my screen. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Facebook, and I'm going to share this. Do you know what this is? It's kind of hard to make out. I know I can't make it any bigger.
Exercise patience?
Exercise.
Is this a Jesus thing?
Yes, it is.
And I've gotten something like that before.
Oh, you have? Okay, mm-hmm. So that's my question. It was not only the brochure itself, but it was also the handwritten note that was underneath
it.
Handwritten note. You know, sometimes they can use, you know, technology, computers to kind of make it look like somebody wrote it by hand, but you can still tell it's printed. This, however, is a handwritten letter. Not even dear sir or ma'am. It says dear William at the top, which is interesting. And I've gotten these letters, I would say, about four times a year. It comes from the Jehovah's Witnesses of St. Petersburg. And there was this one lady, I can't remember her name, who wrote me, but she appeared to be very old because it was cursive and it looked like her hand was a little shaky. Yeah. So my thought was, are the Jehovah's Witnesses using elderly labor to avoid no soliciting signs on doors and knocking on doors? Because I think this is a new thing since the COVID era where you couldn't go knock on doors anymore. It seemed like it was sort of declining anyways. And I'm impressed with the craftsmanship here and the time that it takes to handwrite these letters and put them in the mail. I'm assuming I'm not the only one to get these, but now I'm kind of wondering, did I somehow end up on a short list for the Jehovah's Witnesses to try to recruit? Because I can't imagine they're writing these letters to everybody in St. Petersburg, right?
That seems unlikely.
Have you ever gotten one of these?
I have, yes.
A handwritten one?
Again, I thought it was handwritten. I mean, are you sure that it is?
I'm positive. Positive. Okay. Because I was a little concerned because this is from Cheryl, a different woman. And I think I can't remember what the other lady's name was, but I know this is a different lady and I'm kind of worried that she died. And I'm not on her list anymore. Somebody else inherited her list.
I mean, kudos to them for, you know, finding creative ways to waste their time, their last few years on earth. They're wasting it away by writing to people who have no interest in what they're saying. But you know what? If it brings them some sort of peace of mind and they feel like they're doing the Lord's work, who am I to take that away from them?
I'm not as hostile as I used to be towards religion. You're right. It is a waste of time. I'm not going to I'm not going to join the Jehovah's Witnesses. No. I don't have any interest in joining any sort of organized religion, any sort of organized anything. Really, I have no interest in joining political action. None of that. In fact, I want to stay as far away from that stuff as possible. I do like the communal aspect of it, having some sort of community to be a part of. But I like Christmas and I like celebrating my birthday. And I know that Jehovah's Witnesses are big on not celebrating holidays. So that would probably be, I would say, last on my list. If I had to join a religion, I think Jehovah's Witnesses would be the last.
Yeah. They don't seem like a fun bunch. Not so much.
Yeah. I don't know if I've known any personally. But,
I have.
You know what? Guess who joined? I don't know if it's... it's one of your favorite people. She's not with us anymore because she choked on a noodle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your aunt by marriage.
Aunt by marriage. She had some people come to her door and signed up. Because I wondered who signs up for these things, you know, going door to door like that. But there are people that apparently do. And I don't know if my uncle's is still with that or not. I'm not, because I think he joined by proxy. I think he was just like, whatever you want, I'll do whatever you want. So I'm not sure if he's still part of the crew or not.
Probably not, I would guess.
I would assume not, but I don't know. I got to ask him next time I see him if he's still doing. I don't even know what you do. You don't celebrate any holidays. Do you go to church?
You have weekly meetings. I think they're called meetings. It's not called mass or church, but meetings. Actually, some of my good friends from high school, I actually saw them in December. They're Jehovah's Witnesses, and I was friends with them in high school. And I remember I would have to, you know, sneak. I was friends with both of them, but they ended up getting married. The guy was Jehovah's Witness, and I would have to sneak him birthday gifts, you know, because he didn't really care about it, you know, but his parents did. So I was like, all right, here's a birthday gift. And thinking when he, you know, was able to leave the house that he would be able to just not be free of it, you know. Well, to impress the family, his now wife became like she converted, and then she became like the one that was the dedicated one. Mm-hmm. So now they have two children, and now he doesn't even want to go, but she like drags him there, still trying to impress the family, even though they've been married for, you know, 12 years.
And it's just not going to happen. If it hasn't happened by now, it's just not going to happen. Yeah, that's a weird one. But I will say I always take the time, even though I know what it is. I know it's solicitation to join them and at their meeting and just see what it's about. You know, nice people. And I'm sure they are nice people, undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. I always read them. If they took the time to hand write me a letter, I take the time to read it.
Yeah.
But it's just falling on deaf ears. You think like I think I've got. I get these like twice a year. So maybe it's and I think this is my third one. So maybe they follow baseball rules, like three strikes, we're out. We won't write anymore. But I did get some illumination on this. Somebody called into the Johnny B show, a man who sounded remarkably like Elmer Fudd. And I believe he might have been part of the church. And he explained that they have, I guess you could just go online, just like anything else, and find, you know, addresses for people living in your community, and then you literally break up the list, you know, put it in an Excel spreadsheet, and then go, this is your, you know, list. This is who you got to hit. This is who you got to write. And every letter is apparently customized, and they just break it down. And it's an original message too, I've heard, for each one, a slightly different.
It doesn't make any sense. I don't know if you're familiar with like the premise of Jehovah's Witnesses, but of what I know, and I know very little about the religion, but there's a limited number of spaces in heaven is what they believe. So right. Seems kind of counterintuitive to try to, you know, get more members when that reduces your chance of getting into heaven. That makes sense.
Do you know what the number is?
It's not very much. I feel like it's like 13,330. I'll find out for you. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm Googling it right now, actually. Jehovah's Witness. Let's see here. According to Google, there's 144,000 spots. And there's only about 8,500 remaining, is what it says here.
Yeah. 144,000. That's such a random number. Yeah. So how many Jehovah's Witnesses are there worldwide? Let's find out.
Yeah, it says Jehovah's Witnesses believe that actually 144,000 Christians from the Pentecost of 33 AD until the present day will be resurrected in heaven as an immortal spirit.
What are they doing? There's 8.7 million.
Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yes, they have around 8.7 million active followers in 239 countries worldwide. Oh. So what are they doing? This seems...
Well, it says here that Jehovah's Witnesses believe that when a person dies, their existence completely stops. This is because the Bible makes it clear that human beings do not have an immortal soul that survives when the body dies. Witnesses believe that hell does not exist either. So they're kind of, what's the deal?
Jews don't believe in heaven or in hell either, so...
What do you say? I like how Google has other things, I guess, that people have Googled. And this one says, what do you say to a Jehovah's Witness when someone dies? You just say, I'm sorry for your loss. It's good advice for anybody.
Yeah. I think that's the standard what you say when someone dies, right?
Yeah, I think that's good advice for anybody. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that exactly 144,000. Yeah, you're right. What do the rest do then? I guess they just go, well... This is what we believe, or they've been...
But then they're in, like, limbo or purgatory.
No, they say they're just... They believe that you're just gone. They believe what you believe, pretty much. That your existence stops at death.
Yeah, I think they believe in purgatory, though. Like, I could be wrong, but I think that there's, like, a holding cell. Because they certainly believe in a soul. So, obviously, these souls have to go somewhere.
They just said no, they don't. They don't believe in a soul that continues on anyways. In, would you say purgatory?
Yeah.
Okay, do Jehovah's Witnesses believe in purgatory? Do not believe in purgatory.
Oh,
no.
All right.
They believe that after one dies, one's existence completely stops with the possibility of being resurrected by God.
So you're saying there's a chance.
It's almost like a blacked out purgatory where you're just like asleep. Mm. You're not doing anything. You're not experiencing anything. But maybe, you know, God would be like, yo, kind of zap you out. And then you're alive. Yes, again.
It seems to be odd. Like if you're really fighting for a position and there's clearly almost 9 million of them worldwide, you're already fighting pretty hard for a position to get in that 144K select. So why would you want to recruit more members?
I guess it's just true believers, right? They're just like, this is the right way, just like everything else, politics, religion, anything. This is the right way to do things. You should come aboard because it's right.
Well, you know what? Let me text my friend right now. I feel like he could at least illuminate a little bit of what's going on here. Because to me, that really makes no sense. It seems antithetical.
Yeah. I agree.
I'm not sure word this. I haven't talked to this person in a while. I'm just gonna go question and then ask.
Okay. What's your question?
I'm gonna go. Why do Jehovah recruit when there's only 144K. spots in heaven available?
That's a good question. It must be just, my guess is true believer. They just think that this is the right way. And you should be a part of what God wants, no matter what, even if you are not one of the ones chosen to move on.
Yeah. All right. Well, I sent it. He's usually on within seconds. So we'll see how that goes.
In the meantime, Anna, have you been swimming at any point in the bay or in the Gulf?
I don't swim unless it's, you know, in the shower. So no, I hate the water. I don't like the water. Although actually I did go kayaking. Oh God.
Uh-oh.
I did go kayaking on Saturday.
Yikes. Not good. Are you feeling sick?
Huh?
Are you feeling ill?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
SpaghettiOs!
Bad news, Anna. 5 people are confirmed dead in the Tampa Bay area because of flesh-eating bacterium known to lurk at beaches. According to Florida Health, the Vibrio vulnificus bacterium.
Oh, that'll die.
Yeah. National habitat or natural habitat is warm, brackish seawater because it requires salt to live. The bacteria typically grow more quickly in warmer months. Infections are rare, but health officials say that those with open wounds, cuts, or scrapes should stay out of the water. Do you have any open wounds?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh, SpaghettiOs.
5 people have died this year from reported bacterial infections, including 2 in Hillsborough County and 1 each in Pasco, Polk, and Sarasota counties. There have been 26 reported cases of infections in Florida since January. In 2022, there were 74 total cases and 17 deaths. So this isn't really something new this year. And I kind of wish I knew that before I brought this story up. I didn't really read this story as well. So it's okay. Something that goes on every year. I thought it was brand new.
I hear about this, the brain-eating amoebas and whatnot.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, the lakes. It's a danger being alive. There was something in here, though, I wanted to get to. Bacteria conveyed to bloodstream. No. It is not transmitted from person to person, but people experiencing symptoms should seek medical attention immediately. It had a lot to do with the doo-doo that's getting dumped in the water, too, during Hurricane Ian. I saw that St. Pete just had another leak of 10,000-plus gallons into one of these. What is going on? Can they not? Is it because a bunch of people moved here or something? St. Pete was notorious during the former administration. Just couldn't get the wastewater deal under wraps. They were just dumping spraying doo-doo all over neighboring Gulfport.
You can't be doing that.
Just spraying their doo-doo all over the place.
Just maybe an influx of people? I don't know.
I don't know either. It's not good. Though.
No, that and certainly is for sure.
It's still happening, and they're not really getting it under wraps yet. So I don't know. I don't know if they ever will. What the plan is? There was something to do with a waste treatment facility that was closed, and that's when they started having problems. Apparently, that was during the former administration did that. I don't know. St. Pete, you got to stop spraying doo-doo all over the place because it's making people sick. We're getting flesh eating bacteria from doo-doo. I would suggest if I were advising Mayor, what's his name now?
Not Bert Kreischer or whatever.
No. Mayor
Ben Carson.
That's not it. His name is, boy, this guy doesn't really get out there as much. I knew Mayor Kreisman's name. He was out there a lot. He was tweeting.
It's like a one syllable, like first name, last name.
It is, let's see. Let's just Google it. And I'm wondering if this is because I'm doing a program right now that I can't think of it. Because it actually, I just don't know. Ken Welch.
See, I was right.
Ken
Welch. One syllable.
Yeah. So Mayor Welch, stop spraying your doo-doo all over the place. It's very bad. Let's see. Oh boy, we got some comments here. Someone said, "Ask cat named Mo." Okay, I will. 144 spaces in heaven. Yep. Sir,
my
Neil.
Friend sent me a link to a website.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Can you just tell me why?
Thanks a lot, friend. They got that number from a text in the Bible. When I heard that, it didn't make any sense. Okay, yep. LDS Church thinks Hitler is okay. All right.
Those are the Mormons. I learned about them. I watched a documentary about the Mormon Church. It's pretty crazy.
Yes. So the
it's basically like Scientology. It's like one step like less crazy, but still wild.
Okay. I'll ask Mo tonight and see what I don't get to record it and be like, is Hitler in heaven, Mo? Yes or yes.
Is he Mormon?
No, not Mormon. I think he grew up LDS.
I thought
no,
LDS
no, no,
was
no.
There.
Sorry.
That's a Mormon Latter-day Saints.
Yes, you're right. He grew up Jehovah's Witness.
Okay.
Yeah.
Word.
So who said LDS? Oh, LDS. Javier said LDS. Okay. Mm. I work for Mormons. I'll text my boss and ask him. later though. Interesting. I'm learning a lot today about faith, about the LDS, about Jehovah's Witnesses, and tell your friend, thanks for giving me homework. I just had a question. You could have just answered it.
Right.
Thanks for nothing.
He wants to know the link of the podcast. I'm like, no, no, you will not get that from me.
Why not?
No information.
Okay. Well, still just give it to him. Maybe he'll listen to it. HMBradio.com. That's the website before we're totally thrown off YouTube. It was vaccine information. Now we got Javier saying stuff about the big H man. I don't know how long we're going to survive, but we're going to enjoy it while we're here. Anyway, Anna, I have this story too. This was actually last week when I saw this, but I feel like it's an evergreen topic. And I'm glad because it has nothing to do with religion. It has nothing to do with politics. It's this. Can you read that? It says, my wife has a terminal illness.
Article. Yes.
And she,
oddly enough, I got it from prep for my Bubba show as well. And I read all of it because I was like, this can't be.
It's fascinating. So this fella, he found out that his wife has this terminal illness and she has a request, one last wish before she dies. Make a wish for adults, essentially. She wants to have sex with her ex because that's the best sex that she's ever had. And, now she's married to this guy and apparently he's not laying it down as good, laying the pipe. So she wants to, you know, get down with her ex. What would you do in this situation? It's really, he kind of expressed that if I don't do it, I'm a dick, but if I, you know, do it, I'm a cuck and I don't want that. She's my wife. So he didn't really know what to do.
Well, it seems pretty obvious to me that she's faking this terminal illness because usually people who are dying of a degenerative disease aren't really horned up. You know, they're just trying to go to the bathroom and live and find the will to, you know, eat and stay awake. So the fact that she wants to get laid some good pipe before she dies seems like it might not be the real deal. Also, so you reach out to your ex, who's to say that they want to or are available, or, you know, there's just so many what ifs.
So I think, but
if I were, let's just, you know, play the game, if this were real and I was in this situation, I think it's time that you just die alone is what I would say, and bid that person adieu.
Oh, leave the wife? Or you mean that she should not do this?
Well, both, obviously. But if the request was made to me, I don't think I would stick around. I think I would just say, I think I'm done here. If that's the last thing you want from me is permission to fuck somebody else, and you want me to be here to wipe your ass and hold you as you die, I just, that's a lot to ask of a person, you know, without even really having to ask. But then for that person to want to have sex with somebody else, I think it's, I wouldn't stick around for that. So, and I honestly don't think I would feel bad about letting them die alone. Like, I really wouldn't, truly. So
let me propose something to you first. Are you insinuating that this is fake?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It might be because it came from Reddit and I'm willing to concede that it could be fake. I'm also live in this weird culture where it could totally be real. I could totally see this happening. So some of your other concerns, number one, how do you know that the ex-boyfriend would be down? Throw a text message out. Hey, I'm thinking about asking my husband, since I'm dying, if we can bone it out one more time, would you be down?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Guy says yes. All right. So now she knows. Now she can go to the husband guilt-free. What was your other concern? There was one other thing.
She's not really sick.
Oh, she's not really sick. Okay.
Like, so the story might be real, but she's not actually ill.
So it could be she might have just got diagnosed and feels pretty okay right now. And maybe it's just going to get quickly, exponentially worse over a short period of time.
Perhaps.
So let me throw this at you, because I think I found a solution to this. Now, it's going to hurt, but if you love this person, if you love this woman, and this is her dying wish, you want her to be happy, you got to say yes. However, it's got to come with a proxy here or some sort of condition, because you're married and you're not supposed to cheat and you're not supposed to be doing that stuff anymore. So he gets a pass too. Now he can cash in that pass with an X, or maybe it's just like it's not as easy to find, you know, people that will bang him necessarily. So he might have to call like a Craigslist type of situation, or a back page where he calls a phone number. And it can't be when she's dead already. She has to be alive when it happens. She has to feel the pain, at least for a period of time. So if they both get their pass and they both bang other people, I feel like that might be a good compromise for this situation.
I mean, if you want to live a relationship of getting equal and back at each other, then great. But I don't think I could do that. So I just have to say, listen, you can do whatever you want. I'm not here to stop you, but you're going to have to die alone then. So you kind of turn the ultimatum on them, or the decision on them. You go, like, that's fine. You can bang whoever you want, but I'm leaving then, and you will die alone. So you choose.
Right.
What you want, you know? So.
Yeah, but it's their only thing they want before they die. I mean, they're dying. They're going to be dead.
Go for it. Like, again, not going to stop you, but then don't expect me to sit around and wait for you like a goddamn little, you know, B-I-T-C-H, holding you as you die. Like, is your ex going to wipe your ass and change your colostomy bag? I don't know.
I'm assuming no. I'm assuming that would be a big no.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah.
Okay. What about two, where the guy gets two passes and she only gets one? So it doubles up.
Yeah. Again, like if you want to live your relationship getting even and equal, and if your relationship is a tally of who can inflict it more pain than the other, like, I'm count me out. Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
But again, different strokes for different folks. Some people like that getting even.
I don't know. I just feel like if it's her last wish, then okay. If you love that person, you really want them to be happy, but I see what you're saying too. Now, you make sense.
Yeah. You want them to be happy in condition. I mean, there's obviously conditions. If she was just like, I want you, make me really happy. If you would say she needed a heart transplant. Oh, I really want you to go and kill someone to get me a heart. It's my dying wish for you to kill someone to get me a heart. You'd be like, no.
Well, that's not the same thing.
Well, what I'm saying is everything has conditions. So this whole, like, you want them to be happy, that has parameters. Yeah, I took it to the extreme, but again, everything has conditions and parameters. You're not going to just do whatever. So
yeah,
that's fine. I don't. And I read the article and it was funny. Someone was like, just because you're dying doesn't give you permission to be like an a-hole, you know? And I agree with that.
I don't know. Maybe it does. It's like, I'm going to be dead in 6 months. So, you know, this is what I want. And I'm going to be really, truly selfish here. And yeah, I guess you're right. The guy could necessarily be like, all right, I'm out. Then, like, yeah, go ahead, do it. But right. I'm sure it's under the condition that they still want to be together. She wants to be with her husband, but she just wants to have a carnal session with a man who knows how to lay the pipe that the husband can't lie, you know?
Right. Yeah,
it's just sex.
It just seems unlikely when you're suffering from a terminal illness that you're thinking about getting.
Clearly, this has been something that's been on her mind for a long time. Like, this was maybe this guy broke her heart, you know, the ex broke her heart. And then she met this guy and it was like, he's a nice guy and he's good to her. And she's like, I'm getting old and I'll just marry this guy. But she doesn't really have that, you know, romantic love, I guess, maybe even, or this lust.
Love.
Yeah, this lust. It was just like, this is a legit dude. I love this guy. He's, you know, he's really good to me, but he can't lay the pipe like the last guy. And I've been thinking about this other guy's pipe for years now. And now that I'm dying and I'll be dead soon, I want to get that pipe one last time.
Well, I mean, it's a gamble. You know, it's not a gamble I think one should make, but that's not—it's not my life and my determination to make. But yeah, I'd be like, sure, go ahead, just have fun dropping dead alone. Bye. See you later.
But you say you don't want to hurt. you know, you don't want to have to be hurt, but that's hurting. I mean, that's going to hurt the wife that's dying really bad.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't think that just because you're dying gives you the liberty to be an a-hole, especially to people who are going to be suffering immensely along there with you. You know, they're going to have to be the ones dealing with you after you're gone and taking care of you and watching you degenerate and saying your last goodbyes and organizing the funeral. Like, that's a lot of work that someone didn't ask for. And then for you on top of that to be like, by the way, I also want to blast my ex. Like, I'd be like, yeah, alone. Goodbye. See you later.
What's worse, if she asked or she just did it and didn't say anything? And the husband never found out.
Oh, I mean, I'm a true believer in, like, what you don't know can't hurt you, especially in that lane of the game. Mm-hmm. Truly, like, ignorance is truly bliss. Problem is you always run the risk of them finding out.
Yeah. Sir Neil says the guy don't need a pass. In 6 months, she'll be dead. He's free to sleep with whoever. Yeah, but the point being that she's causing him pain. This dead woman or dying woman is causing him pain. And my theory is that if he also does it, lets her know so she experiences the same pain, then you're kind of balanced out as far as the pain spectrum goes. That would be my theory.
Yeah, that sounds like a loving relationship where we're experiencing the same amount of pain.
Well, I mean, like, it's equitable, at least.
Of course, but I don't want to be in an equitably painful relationship with someone. Or our relationship is based on the amount of pain we're inflicting on each other.
I mean, there's...
But again, like, I know people who are like this, where they're just like, oh, I get a pass and he gets a pass and it's cool. I'm like, all right, I can't deal with that emotionally, but maybe some people can, you know? So
there is a degree of pain that she's already committed against that husband just by asking him, letting him know, number one, you're not throwing down a pipe mm-hmm. like this other dude. That's already, you know, will fracture a man's ego. And number two, you know, just letting it be known that she's going to bang this other dude, or wants to at least. And now he's got to make the decision, which is even kind of like, now it puts him in a weird spot because he's like, I don't want to say no to my wife. It's her one last wish. You know, I love her and I want her to be happy, you know, in her final days, you know, or months or whatever. But also, I don't want this to happen. I mean, that's putting a lot of the responsibility in his corner who, you know, he doesn't deserve that, you know, if she wants to be a hoe.
No. Yeah. It's, I mean, if it really did happen, which I don't think is likely, but in the event that it did, yeah, I feel like asking is almost just as worse as doing the deed and going through with it. Cause once you know that she's thinking about it, you're like, wow, you're dying. And you're just thinking about his penis? That's sad for me.
It's really...
I might kill myself before her. Maybe that's really the goal that we're not the goal, but the resolution we're not seeing here is he just kills himself before she dies, and then she has to carry on.
Oh, man.
With her last sad 5.5 months, with knowing that she inflicted so much emotional pain on her husband that he ended up offing himself so he couldn't even take care of her.
Oh my God, that would be something.
Her ending, you know. So.
If she just approached him in her wheelchair, like rolled up to him, and then asked him this question.
Chester?
Yeah.
Chester?
Yeah.
Dead.
Oh, you mean she died before she got... That would be the best case scenario. She just died before she even got to ask, and then he would hold her in high regard. I was thinking she would roll up to him, ask, and then he would be like, just pull out a gun and Arbud Dwyer himself right there, right in front of her.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking she rolls up on him and he ended up killing himself. I mean, either's great, you know.
Either's cool. Great. Yeah. Yeah, either's good. So I don't know whatever happened. Apparently this was from 2 years ago on Reddit, and I don't know if there was any sort of you know,
follow up. Probably not, because it's a fake story, but hey, it's cool. It's a cool, you know, even if it's fake, which it is, it's an interesting thought experiment. It's the, what do you value? Yourself, other people, what are your boundaries? It's telling of your values and your boundaries.
So I'm still going with fine, you can cheat, but you have to know that I cheat too. And we have to suffer the same amount of pain. And, but I don't fault you for your, I'm just going to peace out and miss my last 6 months with my person that I love.
But here's what you're missing is that if a woman wants to sleep with another man, she's checked out. Like she doesn't, she doesn't really care what you're doing.
Yeah.
So if you're like, well, I'm going to sleep with someone else, she's probably like, oh no, don't do that.
Interesting. Yeah.
She doesn't care. So the level of pain you think you're inflicting is actually much less because she doesn't care about you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. You're right. And because, you know, there is a, you know, differences between men and women. Yeah. I think a man could cheat and still like want to be with their partner, but you're right. Maybe it could be different for women.
Yeah. I hear a lot about that in the red pill community, where, you know, it's very hard for women to conceptualize, like, why would you want to sleep with someone else if you love me, sort of a thing. But that's where the few differences, because there really are just a few differences between men and women, and they're pretty minute, to be honest with you. And when you think about the vast things we have in common, like anger, sadness, happiness, being tired, sleep-wake cycle, you know, voluntary movements, heart beating, like all these things that are controlled in the brain, very few differences when it comes to just like preferences and whatnot. But one of them is like, yeah, a man could easily have sex with like a random woman and feel nothing and then come home to his wife and want to be with her and love her. Whereas with women, that's usually she's detaching emotionally first. So by the time she actually has the physical affair, she's already out of love and sorts with her current partner.
Yeah. So. Wow. Yeah. I didn't even really consider that. You're right, though. Now, let me ask you this, because you're kind of a unique broad.
Yes. Oh, sorry.
You're a lady, but you, I don't know, you're not at the same
genius.
Time.
I think genius is the word you're looking for.
Well, maybe I was going to say more R-worded.
Well, sometimes that's an idiot savant, right? Like, yeah, by the way, side note, we'll get back to what you're going to ask. You got to watch Down for Love. That is all. Okay.
That is good. How do you put the toilet paper roll on your toilet paper roll?
Facing
over or
down.
Under?
Over.
You put it over so it's hanging frontwards.
Yeah, I'm not an animal.
Okay, interesting. Because I was just bitching about every time I go over to a house who is a person's house who is a female, they always have it under. And that's totally the wrong way. Obviously, totally. That's the wrong way.
Yeah, yes. There's not a lot of female engineers, but I'm one of them. So
have you always done that or did you learn?
No, I've always done that, I think. Maybe I learned. Maybe someone yelled at me one time. Maybe it was you even. I don't know. Someone was like, why are you doing it like that? I don't even remember. I remember someone yelling at me about it. But then I'm like, that makes so much sense because it's not hanging now.
Yeah. It's not hanging and it rips. You know, along the perforation that's there. When you try to tear from underneath, you always tear and it doesn't rip along the perforation.
Yeah, or it just keeps pulling and then you have all this extra toilet paper. I don't remember who yelled at me for that doing that, but I think it was definitely a man. So
okay, so you used to put it under though.
I think I used to just not notice. So maybe it was like 50-50. Like I would just put the toilet paper in. And not really know what side was facing or pay attention to it until someone was like, why do you do that?
Mm.
Go like that. So.
And then you were like, oh, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
Interesting.
And now I shame other people who don't do that. So
good. You should.
Yeah, I do.
I do it every time. I try to. I'm trying to like Pavlov's dog, trying to train my girl not to do it. Every time I'm at her house.
What's your treat?
What's that?
So what's the treat?
Oh, there is a treat that's involved, I can assure you. No.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just trying to classically condition. Whenever I see it underneath, I switch it around and put it over.
But do you say something?
I don't think I've said anything explicitly yet, but I'm thinking about making a suggestion. See, this is a thing that can turn into a fight. And I don't want to... It's her house, right?
Mm-hmm.
She can do whatever she wants in her house. I'm coming in there. Hey, you know, you should do it. Why you got to correct me? What does it matter? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
True. All these are true. But there's also, it's more just there's a right way to do something. Is something wrong? Then you should do it the right way. I mean, right?
Yeah.
But also it can turn into a fight.
Yeah. Usually what I do, and I don't know if this works with every person, let alone every woman, but usually when I want to say something that could be considered passive aggressive or aggressive, you just go, can I make a suggestion and you not be mad at me? I say that pretty much all the time to Bubba. Like, can I say something and you not be mad at me? Now, granted, sometimes he always says yes. And then sometimes when I do say it, he does get mad at me. So maybe it doesn't work. But at least I have it on record of him saying, I won't get mad at you. So it's one of those things where if you ask if you could make a suggestion and then they get mad, you're like, well, this is why I asked you. But then again, you're like, is it even worth it to mention?
Mm.
What's the point?
So, I don't know. Like, that's why I'm trying to do just I'll switch it around. And then she just automatically kind of picks it up where, it goes over.
I don't think she will.
Yeah, I don't think
so. I think she will think that she put it in like that.
It's a gal thing, though. I don't know I've never seen a man put it under.
Yeah, no, it should always go over.
Javier says that females got rolls in the restroom, even with the toilet seat up or down. I keep my tissue roll on the counter. So I would say I leave if I put the seat up, I put it back down because it goes down. Just much like the toilet paper roll. Unless you're like a bachelor but if you're sharing your space, you know, you should put it back down. What if you got to do a number two? Now you got to put it back down anyways.
Yeah.
So I always go with down and toilet paper over. He says he keeps the toilet tissue on the counter. I do that sometimes too. Which is kind of piggish, honestly, Javier.
But it also depends how your bathroom's configured. Like, if the toilet paper handle is like behind you sometimes, then you're like, that's stupid. That's how it is in one of our bathrooms here. So we keep it on the counter.
But how easy would it be just to, when you're done, to hang it back up? Hang the toilet paper back up on the roll behind you. And then when you use it again, you take it off, put it on the counter.
That'd be annoying because you would have to undo, like, it's not just hanging and you pull it off. You'd have to like do the little finger trap thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. So I got one of those ones that's just like a hook.
Yeah.
So you can easily just take it off, put it back on. We're just going to invest in one of those.
So, yeah.
You know, that'd be a good solution for everybody. Neil says in the Caribbean, it's strictly over. It's strictly over everywhere, Neil. It should be. Anyways, I think that's the lesson here today. If your girlfriend puts it under, punch her in the back of the head and scream at her and say, we put the effing toilet paper over, not under.
You know what she's going to say?
And you do it again, I'm going to kill you.
No, she's going to go, you committed a battery against me! You committed a battery against me!
I didn't even make that out. That sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher yelling. I didn't hear any of that. None of that.
You don't know where that's from?
No. What was it from?
You committed a battery against me. You committed a battery against me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do know what that's from. Wow. Wow. I think that's a good place to end right there. Yeah. If you don't know what that's from, I don't know, inside baseball stuff. You should know. Anyway, thank you. Thank you, Anna Hummel. Thank you, people listening either on the stream or podcast or on RadioSaintPete.com. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. Follow me on social, home_made_man for Anna Hummel. My name's Will Coons. Talk to you soon. Bye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.